This one is dedicated to each and every one of you who appreciate a great glass of wine.
Thanks for joining me again this week on Exploring the Wine Glass. Today, I sit down with Pam Riley of Food and Wine Chronicles and discuss the inequalities in the wine world. Black Lives Matter is a strong movement and an important one. It is sad to know that people are treated differently just because of the color of their skin. If you listen to this podcast or read my blog, you know how I am a scientist at heart and by training. Bill Nye, the science guy, is a hero of mine. If he explained the science behind skin color in less than 2 minutes on TikTok, it's really not that difficult to comprehend. The color of the skin may be different, but we are all a single species. Remember the adage, don't judge a book by its cover? That is all you're doing if you treat another human differently because of an external feature. Let's get over it and let's raise a glass to a day that a wine lover is a wine lover, no matter the color of their skin. Country Music by Keybens. Publisher, KTF Publishing. Distributor, AWAL. Label, KTF Music. I want to give a shout out to Alfonso Leonardo, who left a 5-star review titled Tasty. Great, great podcast. Very informative. Makes you want to come back for more. Awesome indeed. So come on, don't you want to be like Alfonso? Takes less than a minute to leave a 5-star review, and it means so much. Just swipe, subscribe, rate, and review. Thanks.
Welcome back to Exploring the Wine Glass podcast, the podcast for people who love wine and want to explore it more. I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program, Sommelier Service, and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all of the socials as well as your favorite podcast catchers. Thank you to everyone who has given us a review. Leaving a review on iTunes or the purple icon or whatever the heck it's called will drive us up the charts and allow more wine lovers to find us. If you haven't subscribed yet, now is the perfect time. I promise, I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Allure of the Pour, sponsored by Dracena Wines. Today, I have a special guest, Pam Riley of Food and Wine Chronicles, and we are continuing a conversation that started a while ago, and then we kind of semi-continued it in Wine Studio, and I thought that it was a conversation that needed to keep going, and we are talking about the relationship of the wine industry and Black women and men in the industry and how they're treated differently. So before we get into how honestly mind-blowing that is to me, let's introduce Pam and say hi. So how are you doing, Pam?
I'm great, and thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this conversation again. I really appreciate that. I'm fantastic.
That is good. So I had said that it's kind of mind-blowing to me because I guess when I look at a person, I decide whether I like them by A, if they're nice or not nice, B, if we have similarities in common in terms of our likes and dislikes. If I have similarities of likes with someone, then they're my friend. And if I don't have similarities in likes with them, then they're an acquaintance. And I just move on. So that's what I mean by it blows my mind. And I think it's kind of difficult, at least I know for me, it's a little difficult to grasp what it must be like to go through your life on a daily situation where you're not seen that way by everybody. So I just, and to think that it happens in the wine industry really hurts my heart. It truly, truly hurts my heart. And I would say I apologize, but you know what? I can't apologize for the idiots out there. You know, I think that one of the sayings is you, you can't cure stupid is this situation. So before we get into that, I want to know a little bit more about you personally. So what got you into wine? What's your origin story of how you fell in love with the beauty of wine?
Well, you know, what I would say, Lori, really is it's a very interesting but not interesting story. We relocated from California with my husband for a job position that he gained. And it was a good opportunity for him. And, you know, having been a new person in Virginia and didn't know anyone and really didn't know much about the area, just really super new, in an effort to get out maybe and just do something I thought would be fun that I hadn't done before, oddly enough, I decided to go to a wine festival that they had down in Richmond, Virginia. And he and I went, and I thought it was just so cool. Like, there was so many wines to taste, and the people seemed to be, you know, so eager to learn about the various different things. And I was fascinated by a lot of the people there and a lot of the knowledge that they had. And, you know, I would stand there and just kind of watch. You know, I was just there to taste the wine and see what this whole thing was about. And what I learned was in just that one event was, you know, this is pretty cool. I'm interested. And that kind of thing doesn't evolve, you know, overnight. But that day, it was really interesting. And so we got back home and I started doing a little bit of research on wine and mostly Virginia wine because that's what I started in. So that's what I was really interested in at that point in time. That particular festival was exclusive to Virginia wine.
Oh.
And so I was very interested to know more about this Virginia wine scene and this Virginia wine thing, and attended more of the events, even so much as to go to other festivals like in Town Point Park and things like that, just to get to know people, to get to know. And then I started researching things online. And finding out more and more about the region, finding out more and more about the wines. I started ordering more of the wines and tasting more of the wines and meeting more people. And the more people I met, the more things I seemed to get invited to or included in. And that's kind of where it really launched for me. And over time, I launched a website called Vines of Virginia, which was exclusively about Virginia wine. And I ran the website for many years. I still have the social media pages, but upon moving to North Carolina 2 years ago, I decided to sort of rebrand myself and turn the Vines of Virginia website that I had, to turn that loose because it was a lot of work. I do all of my own web work, so it was a lot to maintain. So mm-hmm. I decided to just kind of rebrand myself, and here we are today.
And your website is Food and Wine Chronicles?
It is. foodandwinechronicles.com.
.com. And that is the handle on Twitter and Instagram also, so when people can find you?
Well, on Twitter, it's FW Chronicles because the username was taken, of course. But on Instagram and on Facebook, it is the same. Like I said, I still also manage and own the vinesofvirginia.com pages. But yes, the food and wine, definitely. And we also have a Pinterest page. I also have a Pinterest page that I upload a lot of my photos to.
Awesome. And I have to honestly say, I think I have only had Virginia wines like once. Drink What You Like was doing...
Frank Morgan?
Yes, Frank Morgan was doing something. And I got asked to participate in it, and the wines were wonderful. I wrote a blog post like saying how much they were fantastic, and but then I haven't had any other Virginia wines. But it's a little tough, 3,000 miles. It's tough to find them here. You know, I don't think they get very distributed so far.
I think they do, you know, now they've gotten better over the years. That was probably, for me, that was almost a decade ago that I started in that. And I think that they have some fantastic wines. To be real honest, you know, Frank Morgan was instrumental in a lot of my earlier days of being introduced to wine. He was very welcoming and included me and invited me to a lot of different things. So I will mention that fairly and give him credit for that because he does deserve the credit for that. But, you know, I have just kind of engulfed myself with it and never quite been able to, you know, get away from it. I don't know that I ever wanted to.
Do you want to get away from it?
No, I was going to say, you know, you find something you love and you sort of stick with it until you don't love it anymore. And so far for me and the, you know, and wine, that hasn't happened. And hopefully it never will.
I hope so, too. So, very important question. What is in your glass?
So, to be honest, tonight, my husband, it's a Prosecco. So what's in my glass tonight is Prosecco, it's L'America. My husband is, you know, he loves to try to buy me wine. And often he'll buy things that he sees in my wine coolers or in the refrigerator on a regular basis because he knows those are safe for me. So, you know, this is one of the ones that he purchased. Sometimes he goes, he'll go off script and try to buy something that I haven't tasted. But that's what's in there tonight. We had we had dinner just before this, and so this was kind of what I was sipping on.
All right, I love Prosecco. I think it is a great, a great alternative to champagne, and. You know what? You can't go wrong with bubbles in my world. Bubbles make me happy. So,
yes.
You know,
agree with that.
Yeah. So, on that realm, what about wine makes you so happy? You see a bottle of wine, it makes you happy. What is it?
You know, I think I'm a very exploratory person. I'm nosy, even to be more more correct with that. I'm a nosy person that likes to know things, and if I find any one thing, no matter what it is, I'm nosy. So initially, technology was really my thing, and I worked in that world for 10 years in the local school system in Virginia. I was very successful at it, and when I decided that, you know, I kind of wanted to wrap that career up, I didn't leave the wine behind because what I felt like is it gave me more time to spend doing something of my leisure that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And so I think what fascinates me about wine is the interconnection it creates between people and between what you've learned. You know, there's so many cultures involved. There's so much information. And it's kind of like reading a book. You just kind of dive in and you don't find the end. And even when you're done with the book, you're like, wait, there has to be more. So I think what I like is that, like I said, I'm nosy. And the more that I can find out, the more people it connects me to. There's always a different avenue with wine. You know, it's not just about what the wine tastes like. It's about the people connected to the wine, what they do. Not just even right down to the wineries or the winemakers, but beyond that, you know, even the people that are in the vineyards that I sit and literally watch videos of these people cutting grapes off the vine, and I'm trying to get as close as I can because I really want to see what they're doing, how they're doing this. So I think it's just a fascination of the entire world of wine and all of the facets of it. And how this all interconnects, it's interesting to me. It just really is.
That is an awesome answer. I love it. I love it. I really do. All right. So my first question is, I guess, a little naivety on my behalf or whatever, but I want to ask this because I think that certain situations, people feel awkward and they don't know how to ask certain things or should they ask certain things. And I figured we're here to open up that door of conversation and to see that conversation. And so I'm going to ask, when somebody is talking, is there a difference? Because sometimes you hear person of color. Sometimes you hear African American. Sometimes you hear black individual. Like, is there, from your viewpoint, is there a difference? Is one more appropriate than the other, or are they supposed to be used in different situations?
Okay, sure. So what I would say to that is, when we speak of people of color, I think we're not just exclusively speaking of the African American or the black culture. We're speaking of anyone that has color or tint to their skin. They could be of the Mexican descent, Spanish descent. They could be from other places in the world. But still, I think when we address people of color, when we're speaking of that, we're saying that they're all inclusive. This happens to everyone that has something other than white skin, to be real honest with you. When we speak of African Americans and black people, I think those two words, depending on what context you speak about them in, are interchangeable.
Okay, excellent. And so going back to what I had said, I feel, I don't know if stupid is the right word, but I have problems with the comprehension of this from the whole other side of it. Like, we've never officially met in real person,
right?
But you're a wine lover. That's all I need to know.
Right.
You know, and I guess I wish that was more across the board. And last week I saw this meme that I absolutely fell in love with. And I kind of stole the concept for when this podcast comes out for you and I. But it's a picture of all the different Labrador retrievers. Have you seen?
Yes, I have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the same dog.
Like,
right.
It's a simple concept. So I just don't get why it's such. I mean, I get why you're saying it's a big deal from Europe, but I don't get why people have difficulty with it. And are you familiar with Bill Nye, the science guy?
Yes, absolutely.
He went through a wonderful, you know, like 1 minute thing on Instagram of why there's color in skin and why there's not color in skin.
Right.
And not to compare anything, but I have freckles all over me from my nationality. I don't have any, like, whatever. So I just wish that people would be more open, and that's really why I reached out to you and wanted to continue the conversation. So what is it, why do you think that in the wine world, because we can go well beyond that, but in the wine world, why do you think there is a distinction?
I think it doesn't matter, to be honest with you, where it occurs. I think it comes from, it's not just the wine world, but it comes from your history. It comes from your background. It comes from past experiences. And so what has happened, I believe, over time, and a lot of the material I've read, is that, you know, it was always a situation in the wine world where the privileged were more privileged in drinking wine. So, you know, there weren't a lot of maybe African Americans or people of color back then, way back then, drinking wine, mostly probably because, you know, at a certain point, we couldn't afford that. You know, we were barely able to take care of our families, you know. Mm-hmm. So our history didn't allow us to be included. And I believe that what has happened is that over time, while we deserve to be included all the time, people have just kind of ran with that idea, well, you know, they're black, they don't like wine. It's a bias that comes into people's unconsciousness where they believe things just because maybe that's what it's been, or maybe that's what they were taught, or maybe that's been their previous experiences, whatever it is. And so as things have evolved and the wine world has grown and we have, you know, come to be people who can't also afford to indulge in things that aren't just white privilege anymore, there's anybody's privilege who can pay for it. I think what has happened is that now, people, you know, it's come to a sense of, for people, some consciously, some unconsciously, are like, I didn't think they liked wine. And what else don't you think I like? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, you mentioned your freckles, which is pretty interesting. So most people would see freckles on an individual's face and assume that they can't be out in the sun. But that may or may not be true. But it's your unconsciousness and what you've been taught and your previous history and the way you grew up that makes you believe that. Now, I have seen people on the beach. I was just on the beach last week. And I can tell you, they were out there in the sun. I'm sure they had plenty of sunscreen or whatever they needed, but they were there.
Right.
You know, I think it's when you look at, it's something that goes, and everyone has it, but it's something that goes off in your mind when you see a particular thing that you've either been taught, you've learned, you've been around friends, it's whatever it is. Even, you know, right down to, well, they're black. And
Right. You're
white. And I think that black people, to be honest with you, over the years, and even to this day, we're very forgiving people because, you know, we were always mistreated. And unfortunately, you kind of come to settle for some of that. Now, I think some of that is starting to shake out in the wash. And so
good.
I think the wine industry needs to be aware of that. I'm starting to see a lot of things. And I think very positive things, you know, making this aware. And I think it would do the wine industry good, even those who are being silent behind the scenes, to take notice and maybe do some things a little bit different, you know. And I understand, I can truly understand, because we all have, some of it's intentional, some of it's not. But I think being more aware, taking more responsibility, and not just being like, okay, well, you know what I'm saying? So I think that people have to really listen. If you don't understand, if this didn't make sense to you, if you just didn't see it in the background before, well, you didn't see it because it always happens. And to you, it was normal. To us, it's never been normal.
Mm-hmm. You know, that brings up a question of one of the things that we had talked about earlier was you had mentioned that, you know, you've been in a tasting room and they are giving you smaller pours than to somebody else. So, one, do you think they're giving you a smaller pour because they just don't want to have the time with you, or they feel you can't appreciate it? Why give a smaller pour based on a skin color?
So I think that it's a combination, depending on what winery you're going to. I think it's a combination of all things you mentioned. Sometimes it's individuality. I think a lot of times, you know, it is what you've said. They're like, well, you know, they don't really know that much about wine. They're just here to have a good time, especially if it's a good sized group of us. They may feel like, yeah, well, you know, And, you know, or perhaps they feel like, you know what, that's great, but these dollars over here are the ones that's going to spend the money. This is what we want to appeal to over here. So we'll spend the time and we'll give them the information. We'll give them bigger pours, even second pours. I've seen opportunities where people have had second pours, and you're still waiting just to get your wine, you know, your next tasting. It's like, can I get the next wine? Oh, you're ready for that? Okay, here you go. Well, this is our rosé. It's made from this, this, and this. You know, it's 100 acres of this on the, you know, and blah, blah. And then they move back over to the person for whom they were selling to, because at the end of the day, for them, it's business. I want to sell as much as I can, and I don't think these people, they may buy a bottle or two, but if I really put this out here and market this well over here, but what they don't know is when we walk into those tasting rooms, at least I can speak for myself, if no one else, and most of my friends, I have just as much money in my pocket as anybody next to me, and sometimes a lot more. I've walked out of tasting rooms with cases of wine and then some. So I think, like I said, you know, and it's going to take more training on behalf of the winery management and to train their staff to understand that you can't judge a book by the cover. And I'd like to share a really brief story with you that doesn't even have to do with wine, but I think it does in a way. My husband and I, one time, and this has been several years ago, my husband decided he wanted a new vehicle. We, on the spur of the moment, as we often do, spur of the moment things, we were in T-shirts and, I don't know, I'm sure we looked horrible. I'm sure we did. He wanted a new vehicle, so I thought, you know what, let's just go look. He was like, okay. Because you're going to look for a car you don't feel like you need to get. So we went to a dealership. A GMC dealership, and we were looking at their Escalades, and the guy came out, and he was like, can I help you? And first of all, I thought, And I said, well, yeah, we're just looking around, kind of. And he was like, okay. And it was just kind of rude and not, he was like, okay, well, you know, you see something, let me know. And he walked away. My husband was like, okay, well, the car is locked. I wanted to kind of look inside of it, and I was like, well, do you want me to go back and get the fella? And he was like, no, you know what? Let's just get off the lot. We drove about, I want to say, a mile and a half down the road to a Chevrolet dealership. And we spent about maybe 35 minutes with the gentleman. He was very nice. He was very welcoming. He was like, you want to look in it? He kept on trying to get us to test drive the vehicle. And I kept saying, I kept telling my husband, do you want it or don't you? We're not test driving it. He was like, okay, yeah, let's do this. And so we bought the vehicle down there. I did end up calling the manager at the other dealership, and I said, you know, we were treated so very poorly. But it just had to do with the way we looked and the color. You could clearly tell that because I'm sure he was thinking, these people can't afford this car.
And he lost out on a heck of a commission because of his ignorance, really.
And I think that's what happens oftentimes in the winery situations. You know, I think we're underestimated time and time again for our knowledge, for our value, and for so many other things just because we happen to have a different color skin.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Did you know that Tresina Wines has a wine club? We named it the Chalk Club. Draco is on our label, but Vegas was getting a bit jealous, so we decided he deserved to be our wine club spokesdog. In Las Vegas, betting chalk means that you are betting on all of the favorites, and we're gambling that once you taste our wines, we will become one of your favorite wineries. The club is simple, yet a bit different than most. We don't ask for a lot of commitment like others do. Wager with us, and you'll receive 3 bottles twice a year. You can choose between all red or mixed. Begin your membership with 15% off all your purchases, but stick with us and be rewarded with a progressive discount. Let your membership ride into the next year and your discount increases. Each year you parlay your membership, you receive an additional 5% discount up to the club maximum of 30%. Your club shipments are discounted to a flat $15, plus we'll cover your second shipment. That's $15 in your bank. Add an additional $15 to your bank for each person you refer. Head to www.dracinowines.com or use the link in the show notes to find out all the Chalk Club benefits and to sign up. We've stocked the odds so that you can get our award-winning wines without breaking the bank.
Do you think that's coming from above, or do you think that it's that individual or a combination thereof? Like, do you feel that there's certain wineries out there that are maybe not purposely training their individuals to pick and choose who they're going to work harder at? Or do you think that it's that the upper management isn't aware that their people behind the counter are doing things like this?
I think, to be fair, I think both. So I would say that what I would believe is that in some cases, the upper management doesn't care. They're not interested. It's to them, it's business. It's kind of like walking into Wendy's. You either buy the burger or you don't. Get the heck out next. So I think that they don't care. To them, it's about money. If you're spending money here, great. If you're not, that's great too. And they don't make a decisive effort to pick and choose how any one person is treated. But on the other hand, I think that lack of knowledge, I think that lack of purposeful training, noticing what is going on, I think, to be fair, that there are a fair amount of wineries out there who haven't paid attention. But at the same time, they also haven't instituted any type of program or training for their tasting room staff to give them the training that they need to perform responsibly and eliminate any type of bias when you're serving my customers, which is also about business. So, I mean, there's some wineries that I think just don't care. I was at a winery maybe a few weeks ago, and while I can't say I was treated poorly. What I can say is that I think it's a winery that wouldn't care because we stayed for quite a while. They had a band there later on, and what I did notice, to be fair, was it was ourselves, my husband and myself, another couple, and one other young man out of probably 300 people. So no, they're not going to care whether how they, you know, it's like, hey, here, you're getting your wine, you know, and to be honest, maybe in that situation, you know, if that's the majority of your business and you're okay with not getting any, but at the, you know, as long as we're being treated equal, we're not asking to be treated special. We're asking to be treated equal. And one of the reasons that we remained at that winery is because we weren't treated any differently. And that's the whole idea.
Right. You were just treated as one of the masses.
Right. That's right.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And everybody was kind of herded in right now with the COVID and everything as you are. You kind of herded in. You get your stuff
right,
and you're herded out the other door. And so,
right,
I mean, you can't, for situations like that, you know, you can't point anyone fingers. But in distinct and very noticeable situations where perhaps you're sitting here, like I said, at a tasting bar, and you know, and you can clearly see that these people have no interest in you, or you can clearly see that you're being treated, you know, unfavorably. And you know, the funny thing is everyone has instincts. You have an innate instinct. You were given that as a human being. And so it's not like you don't know what's happening to you. You clearly do.
Right.
And it happens in a lot of instances. you know, I think previous individuals, wine professionals, have mentioned that sometimes even in restaurants, you know, a lot of times the sommeliers will come to you and they'll assume that you don't want a wine menu. What would you like to drink? Well, where you will clearly see them show up at another table and bring the wine menu and the whole nine. And you're like, can I get a wine menu? Oh, you want a wine menu? It's really quite disturbing. And it's very insultive.
I would assume.
Like I said, we're not asking to be treated special. We're asked to be treated as you would treat any other individual that walked into your restaurant or your winery, your tasting room, your vineyard, on tours. I've taken 30 or 40 people with me at times to wineries. I've known winemakers where I've been to just about all. They've done special events for me, and I have walked up to them at times, and they're like, you can tell they don't know who you are. But you see them interact with other people that you know. You've probably spent more time with them than they have, and they know exactly who these people are. And you're like, no conscious effort to care.
That I can't imagine what that feels like, to be walking in and basically be treated like not even an invisible man, actually like worse than an invisible man. They see you and treat you like the invisible man.
Absolutely.
You know? So you had also previously, we talked about insincere inclusion.
Right.
And so can you just explain what that is? And, you know, as a person, if I'm on that press trip with you, like how, let's go into what is insincere inclusion first, and then I'll go into my question.
Okay, sure. So I think when we speak about insincere inclusion, it's exactly what it says it is. You're sort of, if I may say it, and in a very blunt way, you're faking the funk. You want to appear that you are including these individuals, that you have a sincere desire and a care. But that's just an appearance for those around you, so that you don't have to address the real issues. You really don't have to come into the conversation. You make it, and you situate it in a way where it looks like you're very involved. But on the back end, you really just don't care. It's like, well, I kind of want to be seen this way. You know, I would say that we have a lot of Instagram influencers that don't have a sincere, genuine care for what is going on, but it looks good on social media. It gains you followers on social media. If you black out your page for a day, it looks good. It includes you. You feel included. I'm doing something. But in the background, you're like, okay, I'm going to do this because everyone else is doing it. And if everybody else sees me doing it, then they'll, you
think
know,
I'm on board.
Yeah, so I think when you're insincere about it, I think wineries and things, some of them will make a sincere effort. But I think some of them will be insincere about their efforts. They'll say they're doing this. They'll do a few things. But this has to be a continuing conversation. It can't be, okay, well, I did that. And then, you know, it kind of goes away. So I think when, in my mind, I think sincerity is a big word. I think I've been approached by a few different people, at least one of whom I turned down because I thought, you're doing this for yourself. You want me to do this because it makes you look good. You have no sincere effort or no sincere want to help the situation. You're doing this because it makes you look good. You're getting the press. You're getting the publicity. You get to say, I did something.
Right.
But in the end, you're not really doing it for the right reasons.
No. And that, again, goes back to, that's worse than right. just, I mean, in my opinion, that's worse than just ignoring the situation.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, because now you're taking advantage of a situation that where people are being treated poorly, and you're literally just taking advantage of that situation. So
and that's exactly what it is, for your own benefit.
Right.
And know, if I can address, you know, if I can get you to do this, for me, it looks good. Is it really helping you? Probably not. Do I have a sincere desire to really do something, to get in there, to act, to put in the work, to do whatever needs to be done, because I really have a passion about this. I really disagree with, you know, this. No, a lot of times it's just to show face, to say, hey. And that's just being honest, you know, and I don't think that everyone is doing that, but I know that at least in two cases for me, I turned things down because I felt like, yeah, this is not about helping the calls. It's, you know, we're not talking about mitigating the problem. We're talking about how can I use my platform to look.
How can
like,
I get more followers?
That's right. Absolutely. You know, and that's the poor thing, I think, right now. The good thing is that we have so much social media, which allows us to bring these voices to light, to say these things, and to get people to realize that this actually happens. But the sad part of it is that there will always be people that will also use those platforms for the wrong reasons in situations like this.
And so taking that a step back, and let's combine those two concepts, right? So I want this to be, and I realize it's not happening overnight, but I want this to be over. I want you to feel the same way I feel when I walk into a winery. I know what I'm talking about. I'm always willing to learn, and I want somebody who knows more than me to teach me something and not put me down for not knowing whatever it is, because I'm trying to learn. So if I'm in a tasting room, or I'm on a press trip, or I'm somewhere and I'm seeing something, so I guess my question is, how do I know, if I'm not in your shoes, how do I know that that really is happening? Versus, like, let's say you are the only black individual on a press trip with me. Am I to assume that is really their insincere inclusion to have you on it? Or do you understand what I'm trying to, my question is not coming out well, but.
No, I absolutely do. I think my generalized answer to that would be, it's really about paying attention. And what I think that as human beings we all have, I'll say it again, is we have an innate ability to feel. And if you're seeing something go on, and it doesn't make you feel right, it's probably not right. When you walk into a grocery store, for instance, and maybe you don't really know that this person is abusive to their kids, but you say, okay, well, they're screaming crazy or whatever, you know, and you say, I don't know. How do I know? I mean, you know, all of us have a little gut feeling that says, well, that wasn't right the way, you know, that they're ignoring her or they're not paying attention, or when she asks questions, they kind of move on to the next person's question at a tasting room or in a vineyard, or let's just say we are on some type of wine vineyard tour or something like that. Oftentimes what you'll notice is that the answers will be very short for a person of color, where there will be very extensive answers to maybe others. That are not, you know, they'll have some long drawn out answers and some explanations. And so maybe they'll give the person of color an answer, but maybe it'll be very short, nondescript type things, which, you know, these things are very noticeable. It's not something that it takes anybody to truly notice, you can feel them. I know that I can, even when others are being mistreated, that maybe not in my group or with me. You know, you can sit and kind of watch. It's about listening. It's about looking. It's about paying attention. It's about noticing. And it's about getting out of your own comfort zone. Because a lot of people see things, but they don't want to see it. So they act like they didn't see it, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And then, so if I'm in a tasting room and you're in a tasting room, see, and this is where my logic of this whole thing hurts me, is because if you were in a tasting room and I was in a tasting room and they went to you and it was your turn to get your pour and they skipped you or they did this and walked away, my natural instinct would be, well, she's here before me. It's her turn. But it doesn't matter who you are. That's the thing. So my question is, in that situation, if we had never met before, you know, virtual or in real life, and we were in a tasting room and that was happening to you, am I now stepping on your toes by stepping in and saying, no, she's next? Is that helping you or is that not helping you?
Sure. I think it does help, because what I think it does is it gives that person behind that wine bar the opportunity to know that, look, this black woman over here knows you didn't do the right thing, but so does this white lady over here. And to give them, you know, the opportunity to see that, look, people care now. They do care. And people are taking notice. People are paying attention where maybe they wouldn't have said anything before. I mean, I think it's very important that people speak up no matter what the situation. I will, again, it's similar, but not so much. My husband and I went out first time in, 6 months. We decided to stop by Applebee's. I'm sitting there. We're sitting at our little table. The bar is right over here. There was a couple that walked in, and they have a mask policy. And if you don't have one, they'll give you one. So the couple walked in, and they provided them a mask. The young lady at the, you know, front desk said, hey, can you put a mask on, please, because they didn't have any on. They put them on. They went to their seat. Three black people walked in. One young lady, two guys. One of the guys had a mask on. She was not at the desk when they first came. She was not there to greet them. She walked up. She looked at them. The young man said, well, can we sit at the bar? Now, the bar clearly had little things on it that said, you know, you can't sit at the bar. So she walked over to the bartender and said, hey, they want to set up the bar. So the bartender was like, okay, well, they got to wait for me to clean it. So she did that. She cleaned off a space. And the young lady was like, okay, it's clean now. So here's what I did. And I really kind of struggled with it at first, but then I thought, you know what, no. So when nobody else was around, I had no intentions to embarrass her or anything. I sort of waved her in, and I said, hey, I'm curious. I said, I noticed that the people over here, you made them put on a mask. I said, but these three over here at the bar, you didn't. I'm curious. She said, well, I forgot. I said, did you forget, or is it because they're black? She goes, well, you kind of know when somebody is going to give you a problem.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Now, I chose in this situation, and because I know that, you know, it's difficult in restaurants. It's difficult for these employees. Some of them are working far less hours. You know, they have families too. I chose not to say anything to management just for the sake of that young lady's job.
Right.
But I think what you find is you find a lot of that as well, where you will you can blatantly see the differences in the treatment in tasting rooms, at events and vineyards. I've been to huge events where I was basically almost ignored because I was the only black person in the event. Even though many of the winemakers and many of the people attending I knew, they didn't want to acknowledge me because I don't know if somebody is watching me talk to you. That it was clear to me. It was very clear.
That infuriates me. I apologize for the idiots out there, but I'm glad that I don't want to make things worse by what I say. So I'm glad that I can stand up and I can say something. And being, I would say something no matter what the situation was. You know, if you're in line before me, you get served before me. It's very simple. If the policy is to wear a mask and my job is to make sure everybody wears a mask, everybody wears a mask. I don't care who you are, you know, what you look like. I'm going to tell you you need to wear a mask, and if you don't want to wear a mask, get out.
It's called
and if you give me a hard time, I'll get somebody else. If it goes to you giving me a hard time, then I go get somebody who can handle that hard time.
It's about equality. It's about offering everyone the same experiences, the same opportunities, the same chances. You know, I've heard time and time again people speak about, we've tried to hire black people and they haven't really responded. Well, you know, you have to look at the history of how we've been treated, especially in the wine world. And unfortunately, this is a situation that I will frankly say you white people created. So now you have to do something very different to try to attract those individuals because we have never felt welcome. So if you want people to feel welcome, if you want to provide those opportunities for those people, yeah, you might have to go a little bit beyond the norm to get those people into your establishments now and to get them and give those opportunities to them. But that's what you have to do if you want to now, make change. And everybody should want to make change. Yeah, you have to put a little more work into it now. But this is what you created.
Right. So I think the big thing is everybody needs to just be more observant of standing up. Like, I think that if you walked into a store, and equivalent, not equivalent type thing, if you walked into a store and you saw a child being hit, nobody would think twice about stepping in and standing up for that child.
And that's not true. And let me tell you why. If it were a white child being hit, you're probably right. If someone saw a black mom hit their child, I promise you they walk away if you're white.
Well,
do you?
Okay. No, I would, if a child is being hit, there, and let me preface that, difference between a little smack versus being hit.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, that's horrible.
That's horrible.
But I think that people just, you know, a lot of people just view black people as being extremely different, almost like we're just not normal people. We are.
People.
And we have the same situations and issues and things as everyone else. We're all actually, like you said, that picture of all of the Labrador retrievers, they were red, white, and black, but they were still the same dog. We're all still the same dog.
Right.
You know, now some people are just, that is who they are within their personalities, and that's different. But trying to change someone's perception of you based on your skin color, I think it's such an unfair thing for us, especially in the wine community. It's really unfair because I think part of what wine is the integration of people, getting together, enjoying each other, learning together. We all share a common interest and a really fun and interesting one, and so it shouldn't be sadly, that we have to sort of fight our way, as my husband would
up
say,
up the ladder.
You're fighting your way into the wine world. Why? Why would you just walk away from it? Well, because it shouldn't be that way, and somebody has to stand. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So now, you know, we have to take a stand and say, look, we're just not going to do this anymore. And there's so many people out there right now. We have so many great black people out there with the ability, with the platforms to be able to push through those doors, not down those doors, step on those doors. And you know, I may not be, you know, that significant at this point. There are a lot of, and if we all stand together arm in arm, you know, there'll be plenty of us where there's, you're not going to be able to continue to treat us this way. So even whether we're the small ones or we're the large figures, it doesn't matter. As long as we all stand together, we can make a difference. And I truly do feel like that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it matters your size because, you know, David and Goliath, the little guy wins,
right?
You know, you can take those little guys, and they become a big guy as they get all together.
I think the wine world is struggling right now. Think about that. You know, there's so many devastating things going on in this country and abroad. Especially as it relates to the wine industry. How can you not embrace anyone that's willing to buy and promote your wine? Right now, you need all the help you can get. So I don't understand that.
That's what I was going to say is, as a winery owner, when somebody wants to taste my wine, I don't care who you are, what your favorite thing in the world is, whatever. I'm going to pour you my wine, and I'm going to tell you my story, and I'm going to ask you questions to get you involved into my wine, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get you to make a connection with me, because it's that connection, really. I mean, if you think about, well, I don't know if it happens to you, but how many times we've been someplace and we've tasted a wine and we've purchased that wine, and then you take it home, and what are two things? You taste it and you're like, oh, I don't know why I bought that. But then when you think about it, you bought it because of that connection. Or the other side, you taste it and it brings you right back to that connection of it, right? So I don't understand why you wouldn't try to connect with anybody that's interested.
I think that, you know, sometimes what I've heard is that, you know, it's difficult for winemakers and winery owners and things of that nature to sort of want to bring it up because they're just not sure where this conversation will go or how it will affect their business. What I would say to these people is, when you commit to a situation like this, to better it for everyone, ultimately, I believe that you will come out on top. Now, you may lose a few people, and that's okay, but you're going to gain a heck of a lot more.
I agree.
It's a community, you know, and when you can get the community to come together with you, it doesn't matter about a few who said, yeah, well, don't like them. Okay, well, bye. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I think the wine world is a community. And we're a community that should be connected in a way that you're not allowed to mistreat one another from any realm, no matter who you are, you know. I know that, you know, sometimes there can be some rowdiness going on, but that happens with, I don't care your color. I've been to many, many different wineries, vineyards, tasting rooms, and seen people get out of control. Heck, you don't even have to do that. Attend somebody's virtual chats. I mean, so we're not indifferent in the way that we behave as to anyone else. You know, you're going to get But, you know, the perceptions are so bad and the way that people have viewed us. And then I think it just comes from a background, from a history, from your family, from whatever. I think you have to really go back to the beginning. And as much as I hate to say it, Black people were slaves. And I don't think that the mentality for folks ever kind of got past the point that somehow you still think that you're better than us in 2020. It's just not true anymore.
That brings up another, like, this is a non-wine thing, but when you think of how history is taught in school, like, and I guess I've heard some people who are like, we need to eliminate this, like, or get rid of this statue or something. And in all honesty, I don't feel that that's the correct thing to do, because history is history. And as much as it's horrible what happened and how Black people were treated, you can't change the fact that that happened way back then. But what you can change is how you make people think and realize how horrible that was.
And what people should be treated like.
I think
you have to teach, you have to counteract by teaching, you know, what is positive about these people instead of teaching what were done to these people and why it was done. No one cares why you had a slave, except for the fact that you never should have had one. So maybe you should, you know, teach why these people had slaves and how horrible that was and what you shouldn't be doing to these people now. I think that works. You know, I think that's fair enough to say within every realm of the culture and of life. And, I mean, if you can't see what's going on now, and I feel, you know, very much, want to give a lot of the wine world sort of the benefit of the doubt. I think I'm the outlier in that, because I want to believe, I mean, really, I want to believe after almost a decade of doing this that these people are not, a lot of them, the monsters that they are making out to be. Because to me, if you're not saying anything, you're saying everything. And I just don't understand that. And I would really, really like to understand, what is the silence about? What is it, you know, why aren't you making more noise? Why aren't you? And I think a lot of them, some of them are stepping up. I've seen more scholarships. I've seen more opportunities, more events for the professionals, you know, and things like that. But I'm wondering, there is such a huge, huge community. Why is it so very small? So few saying anything. Right. And I think as time goes on, what I've noticed, especially on social media and things like that, you know, the noise has kind of quieted. So to be fair, there are a lot of other things, you know, with the California fires, and the stuff down in Louisiana, you know, and there's a lot of things, you know, and the world is just in such turmoil. And the attention focusing on, you know, other things that are going on, probably more important than wine, obviously. And I think, you know, those things are kind of getting lost in the background a little bit. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you, the alert goes off, and then, you know, but my problem with all of this is I think that's what the wine world is counting on. Yeah, we've heard all this rattling before. Eventually it'll calm down and we'll go back to, and I'm really, really hoping not.
And that leads me right into what it will be my last question, because we're at about that hour point, is we don't want it to quiet down. So
no, we don't.
What can we continue to do to keep the conversation going? And to do it, what can we continue to do to keep it going so that people have to start listening?
Sure. So I think what I would say is, you know, there's a whole virtual thing going on now. And almost every winery that never was is connected some kind of way virtually. I think doing things like this, inviting, you know, Black people in the wine world, whether they're Black wine professionals, bloggers, whoever, you know, to have these conversations, to discuss these things. I think offering, again, more opportunity to the to Black people to be able to have, you know, opportunities to keep this conversation going. Maybe you offer them more opportunities. I know it's not an easy thing. I've heard it time and time again. You know, but put it out there. Encourage Black people. Provide, you know, scholarships. I think it's going to take presence. And the more Black people that we can put into positions where they're present, the more that the wine world will realize that this is the right thing to do. So if you walk into a winery and there's maybe two Black folks in the tasting room and maybe several other white people, you become more comfortable with it. I think the more that the world becomes comfortable in the wine industry, becomes comfortable that they see us more and more, then that, what I like to call rhetoric, will stop. And they will have no choice but to include us and accept us as equals, because that's what we are. But as long as we're not in the face, we have to be in the face. We have to be for, you know, and it's going to take some time. But the more they see us here and the more they see us in the wine world and the more they recognize that we are just as good as this, we are deserving of this opportunity just like you are, you know, then it will start to settle down and people will have no choice but to accept it. So I would say, you know, more things like this, more podcasts, more Zoom, you know, more virtual things to include, whether it's Black winemakers, Black wine professionals, whether it's bloggers, I don't care who it is, get the Black face up there that knows something. Now, you want legitimate people, you just don't want any willy-nilly, you know, but the truth is that also happens to consumers, just basic consumers. They also go through some of this, so maybe it's just a good mixture. You know, continue to post things in social media, speaking out, talking about what's going on. Continue to, if you have that platform, if you have the opportunity, if you know of other winemakers that you can have a comfortable conversation, even if it's not comfortable, because for a lot of them, it's not going to be, but that has to become comfortable. So I think talking to your peers and discussing it with them, maybe have roundtables. Maybe you're not that comfortable yet with you guys having a round table with a Black person, but maybe you have one with them and they say, how about we invite someone in and let's see, let's give you guys an opportunity so that they're in a comfortable setting and everyone's in a comfortable setting. This is not an attack on white wine. That's not what's happening. And it feels like sometimes that that's what people think it is.
Yep. That's because you're, I'm going to use challenging, and that's probably not the right word, but you're challenging their comfort zone, right?
I think we're asking for their attention. Right. And you know, it's like, how dare you? Yeah. But when you want our attention, you have no problem asking for it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I just think, you know, it's just one of those things where people are going to have to get used to it and going to have to get comfortable that we're here to stay. We're not going anywhere. You haven't been able to run us off yet. And so I think that's really important for folks to know. You know, you've been trying for a lot of years. You drug us over here, so you're not getting rid of us. We're here. And, you know, anything, I think as time goes on, anything we want to do, and put our minds to, we're certainly as capable as anyone else of being very productive at it and being very successful at it. Yeah. And there's so many people that are, and we're going to continue. You're not going to run us off, so you might as well get along with us, and we can all have a great time. That's how I feel.
Right. We can all share a glass or a bottle of wine with a smile on our face and enjoy those memories.
And
of,
maybe we
of
can
good
teach
evening.
You all something sometime.
Well, I was going to say that there are several people out there that know a lot more about a lot of the wines than I do. And I'm a winemaker, so I know one realm of it. But,
absolutely.
You know, when you go out and you start learning about the different countries and the different types of wines, I am low on the totem pole of knowledge, and I will gladly sit down and listen to anybody who can teach me anything more. Because
absolutely. And no one knows everything, and that's what a collaboration table is about. But what you want to do is just make sure that that table of collaboration includes a very diverse group of individuals. Men, women, black, white, people of color, whatever you want to call them, you know, various different experience levels. That's where you're going to get the most successful results.
Absolutely. So I want to thank you again, Pam, for spending your, evening, because you're sort of right, your East time zone, right? Eastern?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
It's probably about 7:20, so it's not too late. It's Friday.
Yay! So but thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts on this and to help educate people on the topic. And I want you to know I, for one, want to continue that conversation.
Absolutely.
As much as I can. So if there's somebody that you want to connect me with that I can continue the conversation, I would be more than honored to talk to them and to continue. And I really do hope you are a beautiful person, and I hope that one of these days we can travel and we will end up and we can clink our glasses.
Yes.
In real life. So I just want to ask one more time, let people know where they can find you. And
okay.
Well,
you can find me at foodandwinechronicles.com, which is where my blog is located at. You can also find Food and Wine Chronicles on Instagram or Facebook. Additionally, you can find FW Chronicles at Twitter, and it's Food and Wine Chronicles on Pinterest. Or you can just reach out to me on any of those platforms if you want to talk to me or you just want to send me a message. I'm always open to discussion. And again, thank you so much. You know, I really, really appreciate this because, you know, we have to, like you said, keep the conversation going. And there's so many other things in the world right now going on in people's lives. But it's nice to see that someone is still taking notice of this. In addition to that, you know, I do want to say this for, you know, so many of the people out in California, and send my well wishes. That's where I'm from. So it's a devastating situation out there, and sending them, you know, much love and prayers. And for all of the other places, you know, that are just being tore up right now by all of the weather and things like that, you know, and someday I'm hoping that all things can come back to normalcy, where people can get back to some kind of normal life. So I just want to say that while I have that opportunity. But again, thank you so much. I so appreciate you giving me this opportunity, and I definitely, definitely look forward to continuing the conversation. I have something that's coming out really soon. I can't really reveal it now, but it's coming. But I am going to try to do another Zoom chat on my platform around this same subject. And so I'm also putting that together, which definitely I want people to attend, and yourself as well. So
thank you.
Looking
thank
forward
you.
To that.
You know how you have my email, so please make sure and Twitter. And that's what I was going to say to everybody who's listening. I just reached out to you on Twitter, and this came about. So.
And in a situation like this, if I have the availability, I will never turn it down.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much, and I want you to have a wonderful night and a wonderful weekend, and here's a virtual clink for you.
There you go.
All right, Lanja, enjoy, and
all right.
I hope
have
you
a
have
wonderful
a fantastic
weekend.
Night. You too.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have any suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoytbud. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. And of course, tell your wine-loving friends, because if you like the podcast, they will too. Until next week, sláinte!